passion. Today we are dealing with godly and ungodly passions. Godly and ungodly passion. And I want you to take your book. Every blessing that God has for you in the month of April must come to pass in your life. And it is by applying the principles and the keys that he releases for the month. By applying the principles and the keys that he releases for the month. As we enter every month, God releases certain keys and certain principles. It is not for decoration that you put it on your status, or you put it, if you put it on your status and your DP and you are not listening to the principles and applying them in your life, it's not going to have an effect. So you must listen and apply them in your life. Hallelujah. Amen. And so today we are going into godly and ungodly passions. Godly and ungodly passions. Write it down, put it on the pages. Godly and ungodly passions. I'm waiting for you to join the meeting. Godly and ungodly passions. I'm waiting for you to join in. Godly and ungodly passions. We learned that passion is strong and barely uncontrollable emotion. And today we are dealing with ungodly passions and godly passions. So what are ungodly passions? What are ungodly passions? What are ungodly passions? Number one. What are ungodly passions? Number one. The kind of passion not driven by God or focused on pleasing God, but rather gratifying the flesh. I take it again. Ungodly passions. Number one, the kind of passion not driven by God or focused on pleasing God, but rather gratifying the flesh. We are dealing with godly and ungodly passions. Tell your neighbor that they should join, because we are going to pray strategic prayers and everybody must be part. You must not be at Glow Music for your life to remain the same. Your life must change for the better in the name of Jesus. We are hearing testimonies and that's what brings excitement. Your life must be better and better in the name of Jesus. So coordinators, put it on your page. Join in and put the notes there. So number one, the kind of passion not driven by God or focused on pleasing God, but rather gratifying the flesh. Under that, A, we are taking some examples. We look at the story of Eve, Adam and Eve. Eve desired the fruit, even though there were thousands of other fruits. There were many fruits in the garden. So many fruits in the garden. Whether mango, pawpaw, guava, what are some of the other fruits? You can mention them. Somebody said sobolo, I don't know. But strawberry, apple, banana, pineapple, guava. I remember when we were children, some of us used to jump our neighbor's wall. Why were we jumping the wall? Because there was a guava tree in the house. We'll go and pluck these guava. And people were jumping our wall too because of, how do you say abrofunkatie? Abrofunkatie in Indian almond. Look at the name. Indian almond. So there was abrofunkatie in the Garden of Eden. So many different kinds of fruits. And yet, Eve desired the very fruits that God said Adam should not eat. And in Genesis 3:6, we see that, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to their eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. May it never be so in your life in the name of Jesus. As you say amen, it shall be so in your life in Jesus' name. May it never be so in your life in the name of Jesus. Say amen. So, Eve desired the fruit. Then the second example, David desired another man's only wife among all the other women who were around. And because of that, he caused murder. He murdered the woman's husband, and trouble by God's judgment came to his house. Amongst all the nice women, Coca-Cola shape, Fanta shape, strawberry shape, all the kinds of shape of women that they were are in David's kingdom, he went for a man's wife, did not just go and pick the woman, he killed the man just because of ungodly passion. Ungodly passion. Desiring and taking someone's wife from him. When you read the story about Uriah, it was so sad. David tried many ways to let Uriah, and it was all because Bathsheba had taken seed. You know, he went into Bathsheba, and Bathsheba had taken seed. And he tried to get Uriah to come back, go from the war, go and sleep with his wife, that, so that it would look as if it was Uriah who was the father of the child. But Uriah would not go into his house. He stayed at the gate of the palace. He said that, I cannot go to my wife when my colleagues are at war, and when the Ark of the Covenant is on the battlefield. I cannot go and sleep. For 3 days, David tried to make this man, he even gave him things, made him drink. Still, the man, even in his drunken state, did not go to his wife, but decided to stay. And it became to the point that David had to let Uriah be sent back to the battle, and told Joab, put him at the place where there's the hottest battle, so that Uriah will be killed. So sad. But all because of an ungodly desire. May it never be so in your life in the name of Jesus. May ungodly desire and passions never take charge of your life. Let's look at another example. And David's example is in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 7 to 10. Let's look at another example. And as I said, we'll be doing some strategic prayers, so get everybody to come around. Example 3. There was one of David's sons, Amnon, desired his own sister, even though there were many other fine women in the kingdom. Beautiful girls, girls with soprano voice, girls with alto voice, sweet girls, all were around, but this Amnon desired his own sister. Oh, what kind of ungodly passion is this? And because of that, he got murdered. He raped his sister and he got murdered. And I want to note something here, that in all these two stories, the story of Adam and Eve and then the story of Amnon, there were catalysts around. In the story of Adam and Eve, you had the serpent there who was giving Eve the strategy to do the wrong thing. The serpent introduced the whole show and ushered Eve into doing that. You look at the story of Amnon and his sister. The Amnon had a friend called Jonadab. Look at his name. Jonadab. may you never have the Jonadab in your life in Jesus' name. In 2 Samuel chapter 13, verse 2 and 3, it says that, and Amnon was so vexed, and he fell sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin, and Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. Meaning that if Tamar was not a virgin, he would have easily, you know, taken advantage of her. But this lady was a virgin. If he goes to do it, everybody, something will happen. Everybody will see that, no, somebody has touched this lady and he will be in trouble. And so he didn't know what to do. And this friend, Jonadab, in the verse 3, but Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimea, David's brother. And Jonadab, look at what it says there. And Jonadab was a very subtle man. The same description was given about the serpent. The serpent was the subtle beast. Was the most subtle amongst all the beasts. So this person gave Amnon the idea that, look, you can call her into your chamber to come and serve you. And Amnon did exactly that. He told his father, let Tamar come and serve me. When Tamar came serving him, said that all the servants should leave. Now he said, Tamar, come and serve me in my bedroom. Oh, woman and man of God, it must not be so in your life in the name of Jesus. It must not be so. Be filled with wisdom so that ungodly passion cannot take advantage of your life and derail your ministry in the name of Jesus. There are so many people, those who have lost their virginities, those who have lost their dignities, those who have lost their destinies, those who have lost their honor, those who have lost so many opportunities because of ungodly passion. Ungodly passion. People who went to serve, for instance, they went to serve in a minister's office, and they saw something and covetousness took over their life, that now what they saw was not theirs. Filled with ungodly passion, your boss is driving a car. You want to drive the same kind of car. So now you are doing wrong things to destroy him so that you take over. May it never be said about your life in the name of Jesus. Our glow music, may your life begin to change for the better. Brighter and brighter your life must become in Jesus' mighty name. Every spirit of ungodly passion, today it comes to an end in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
So, example number 4. We've spoken about Adam and Eve, spoken about David, spoken about Amnon. We go to the next example. Example number 4. Samson desired Delilah and showed her his weakness. Samson desired Delilah and showed her his weakness, which led to his premature death after 20 years of success. Samson had been a judge for 20 years. One woman that he desired. And he showed the woman his weakness because of ungodly desire. Samson was warned, like Solomon was warned. Be careful. Be careful. Be careful. And he exposed his weakness. People came to arrest this man. They couldn't stop him. People tried to kill him. They couldn't kill him. One woman, because of Samson's ungodly passion, and it brought his destiny to an end. May it never be said about you in Jesus' mighty name. The word of the Lord says that the words I speak to you, they are spirit and life. As I declare, may it be so in your life, that from today and forever, your life will not be strangled by ungodly passion in Jesus' mighty name. The number 5, We see in Luke chapter 12, verse 16 to 21, we call him the rich fool. The rich fool. The rich fool. Jesus spoke about this man whose business had brought a lot of profit. And when the prophet came, he didn't think about building a new auditorium for his church. He was in the choir. He didn't think about buying a new keyboard for the choir, rather complaining. And this choir, this, and looking down on people. Meanwhile, he's not solving any problem in God's kingdom, but rather look at what he used his money to do. He said in verse 19, "And I will say to my soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years." Hey. He said that I have done an investment. Whether I did the investment at Bank of Ghana, Men's Gold, Barclays, whichever bank. He said that I've done an investment, whether treasury bill or I did whatever investment. He said it has brought profit. And the profit, I'll say to my soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. I have millions of dollars now. For many years, I don't have to work again. And he says, so I'll say to my soul, look, take it easy. Take it easy. Take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. Eat, drink, and be merry. So in his mind, he was thinking about now doing party. In his mind, he was thinking now about expanding, buying a new limousine to cruise around, buying a new yacht to cruise around. He was now thinking about moving from Corolla level now to buy Bentley, especially Land Cruiser. As for Land Cruiser, you know, he wants to match the president on his level. So if the president of the country is driving Mercedes, or his pastor is driving Lexus. So now he says that because God has blessed him, he now has to drive Lexus or Cadillac. It's time for him to get a new plane. And not even to talk about the side of the ladies. It's now time to get a new girlfriend in every region of the country. You see, so you need to be very careful. This thing that this man said, a lot of us, we sometimes we even do worse. God knows your heart. God knows your heart. Now you'll be saying yourself, telling yourself that I need to now get an extra phone. Now I have to move from Samsung level to iPhone, and the iPhone 12 to be precise. You see, and get a smartwatch with it, get a MacBook Pro. Now, you know, just for people to know that I've also arrived in town. So this is what the man was saying. And Jesus called him, he says, thou fool. Look at verse 20. He says that, but God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? And Jesus says, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Because of ungodly passion for things, God has killed a lot of people prematurely, because their soul was filled with the things instead of focusing with the one who gave them the things. Because their soul was filled with the things, the possessions, the money, the things, the person. You were first a single person, now you have a boyfriend, so you know you feel that, hey, now you go for church service. Now if your boyfriend does not go for church service and says that, look, Akosua, put the phone away, forget about that audio conference, that glow service at 6 p.m forget about it, I want to spend time with you. So now you, the same lady who was praying that God, give me a man, give me a husband, now you have a guy whose chest is like a Accra Sports Stadium, wide and big. Now you can lie your head on his chest and say that I have put off my phone. I won't be on the Zoom meeting or the whatever. Now I'll be resting my head with Roger. You don't know what God is saying right now about you. Be very, very careful. Write on your status that put God first to take away ungodly desire. Put God first to take away ungodly passions. If you don't put God first, ungodly passion is knocking at your door. If you don't put God first, ungodly passion is knocking at your door. It says that at a time kings go to war. David was walking on the top of his palace and he saw Bathsheba bathing. If David had been at war, he wouldn't have seen Bathsheba bathing. Some of you, if you had only gone to church that Sunday, if you had gone for the meeting that evening, you wouldn't have encountered certain ungodly passions which today are still speaking in your life. The consequences of it are still affecting your life. I pray for grace upon your life. May God deliver you from every ungodly passion in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So the kinds of passion, I said the first kind is the kind of passion not driven by God or focused on pleasing God, but rather gratifying the flesh. The second kind of passion, it is the passion which fights against God's purpose, plan, or program, and rather promotes the plans or ways of man. The second kind of ungodly passion, write it down. The passion which fights against God's purpose, plan, or program, and promotes the plans or ways of a man. Or ways of man, not of a man. Promotes the plans or ways of man. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, it says that this I say then, walk in the spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You see, although Peter was a passionate disciple of Jesus, the enemy wanted to use Peter against God's plan. But Jesus was quick to stop the enemy by rebuking Peter. Jesus stopped the enemy's program or the enemy's interference by rebuking Peter. I say one more time. God had a program or a plan that Jesus should die for mankind, so that today you and I will be saved. Peter, who was a passionate follower of Jesus Christ, Peter was always passionate. Every time Jesus is moving, Peter is moving with him. But look, Peter's passions, there was an error at a certain point. His passion at this point was to stop Jesus from going to the cross. And Jesus had to be quick to stop Satan purporting his agenda through Peter. And it wasn't the first time. Look, you remember the time that Moses and Elijah came to speak with, I think it was Moses and Elijah, right? At the Mount of Transfiguration. When they came to speak with Jesus on the mountaintop. And Peter said, let me make three tents so that you will all be here. You won't go away. But that wasn't God's program. They were coming to do something and then go. Peter said that no, he doesn't want Jesus to go. But that wasn't God's plan. God's plan was for Jesus to go. There are some of you, you don't never want to grow up. Even when your pastor says, today I'm sending you to Kokrentumi to go and open a branch, say, no. I want to always be at headquarters. When Pastor Bernard says that, hey, today you have to lead Bible study on your coordinator's page or your orientation page, he say, oh, no. You have to do online meetings so that everybody will join. If you say that today, Cynthia, you have to lead rehearsals, then you say, no. Pastor Bernard, no. You have to do it. I'm still learning. Please, for God's plan and purposes and agenda to come to pass, when change is necessary according to God's plan, don't fight it in the name of Jesus. Obey and don't complain. Hallelujah. So in Mark chapter 8, verse 33, you look at Jesus, he said that, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. There's a way that men think, but God's ways are higher. In Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 and 9, he says that my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God's ways are higher. And so understand that when you are walking with God, it's by instruction, it's by command. Peter was stopping Jesus against God's program. But you look at Elijah and Elisha. Elisha was following Elijah when it was time for Elijah to leave. What Elisha rather asked for was that, I want a double portion of your anointing. He didn't say, Elijah, don't go and die. Don't do this. No, he said, I want a double portion. So Elisha aligned himself with God's program. They said that, don't you know that your master is going to be taken away? But he said, no, I'll still follow him, because he wanted a double portion to align himself with God's program. Say after me, I will align myself after God's program. Say after me that no matter the situation, I will stick to God's program. In Jesus' name, so help me, Lord. So, you need to know God's program, because his ways are higher, not as a man thinks. His ways are higher. In Psalm chapter 84, verse 11, we get to know that when you live according to God's plan, you have need of nothing. For the Lord is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory, and no good thing will he what? Withhold from them that walk uprightly. So when you align yourself with God, no good thing will he withhold from you. And in John 15:7, you know that when you abide in him and his words abide in you, whatsoever you ask, he will do for you. So no good thing will he withhold from you.
Amen.
So say after me, go for God's will.
Go for God's
and
will.
Do not savor or desire after the things of men.
Do not savor or desire after the things.
We are wrapping up. The number three kind of ungodly passion, passions which compete with God's will in a person's life. Passions which compete with God's will in a person's life. In Romans chapter 8, verse 7, it says that because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So you find there that the carnal mind is the enemy of God. You should fast. God's will is that you should fast and pray. He says that no. You see, you know the scripture says that fast and pray that ye do not fall into temptation. As for the flesh, he says no. So ungodly passion, following after your flesh, and it's fighting against God's will in your life. But if you fail in that area, how can you fulfill God's plan and purpose for your life? Some of you say that, oh, I had a dream. I was on a stage, about a million people on a big field, and I was ministering. I was playing the guitar, and the power of God was all over the place. People were falling under the anointing. But when it comes to simple fasting and prayer, you have kenke under your bed. God have mercy.
Amen.
John chapter 6 verse 38, Jesus says that, "For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me." The will of him that sent me. Many people choose their own will and not God's will because they are afraid to trust God. A lot of people, when it comes to certain things, they'll tell you, "Oh, pastor, as for my relationship there, it's not God matter. It's not God matter." The person is afraid to trust in God. They say, "Pastor, when it comes to money there, please, seeing is believing. Oh, as for tithe, I can give offering, but as for tithe," the person is afraid to trust God with his finances. But you know something about trusting God? In Psalm chapter 34, verse 8, it says that, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." If you can trust God, you are qualified for his blessing. If you can trust God today, with every area of your life, you are qualified for signs and wonders, miracles, divine interventions in your life in the name of Jesus. People can fail, you will succeed because heaven is on your side. Hallelujah. Psalm chapter 20, verse 7 to 8, it says that some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright.
Yes.
When your passions are after God's will, today you may be down, but you will rise up to be better than you were yesterday.
Amen.
Because that is what is written in his word.
Yes.
The just, even if he falls seven times, he's getting better. Yesterday he was at level two. Today you think he's at level one. Tomorrow he's at level 20.
Yes.
10 times better. Mm. 10 times better. The Daniel anointing in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
So trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall what? He shall direct your path. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 to 6. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 to 6. The last kind of ungodly passion which we are touching on today, passions which are designed to carry one off God's path. Passions which are designed to carry one off God's path. He says those who follow worldly systems always have problems staying on track. There is a difference between earthly life and worldly life. Worldly life is following after the things of the world. And it is stated in 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but it's of the world. I pray that this day, and from today onwards, your desire will not be after the things of the world.
Amen.
Are you more interested in following God and building your relationship with God, or you are following the things of the world? What is more important to you? Is it your looks, or it's about what God sees? Is it about your status in life, what you put on your status, how you make people see you to be? Is that one more important to you, or what God has said is more important to you? is your appearance on social media more important to you, or your relationship with God more important to you? Is your perfume more important to you, or your relationship with God more important to you? One day we were in a conference. A certain young man entered the conference. The moment he entered there, the pastor later was saying that the moment that young boy entered this place, the angels of God left the place. Because the scent that was around the guy, it was just smelling of lust. You know, there are people who they put on certain perfume when they come around you, then you are looking at them, that is speaking something to you. The passions of the world, don't follow after them. The passions of the world, there's a way the world operates. The world operates with money. Whatever you do to get money, do it. Even if it is to the hurt of your neighbor. But the kingdom of God doesn't go that way. The kingdom of God says that love your neighbor as yourself. The worldly system goes, it's about seeing is believing. But in the kingdom of God, it's about by faith must you walk and not by sight. So you need to be very careful and deal with every form of ungodly passion which is part of the worldly system, because the purpose of it is to derail you from your path, derail you from your destiny, derail you from living right, derail you from receiving God's blessings. Wherever you are, just close your eyes with me as we move into prayer. If we say, oh yeah,
na na do,
na na do, yeah,
do.
As we move into prayer, if anybody is not online, get them online. Even as we move into prayer, if we say, oh yeah, na na do, yeah, do.
Oh,
if we say,
if
As we get ready to pray, you can hold your offering wherever you are. If it is Momo that you are sending, you can hold your phone even as we get into prayer.